ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club. Now, here are your hosts, Justin the Giant Tyler and Punishing Pete Pete.
Yeah.
Wow. Special thanks to our new announcer.
Yeah, he's he's like a ring announcer.
We picked him up from the WWE. It's
nice.
Great. He's able to come down.
Yeah.
He's very old, so you can hear his wizened ways in his voice.
Yeah, he's like Mean Gene.
Excuse me?
You remember Mean Gene from the old WWF days?
I remember Rowdy Roddy Piper. I wasn't allowed to watch...
Coco Beware?
I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling, G.I. Joe, or eat sugar cereal.
Wow, your life sucked.
I know, and here I am.
Now you're living the dream.
But you were allowed to do all those things?
Yeah. Oh. Look at how great I turned out.
Yeah, I know. You're losing ground.
What was our nicknames that we got there?
Justin the Giant.
Justin the Giant, and then... Punishing. For a second, I thought I said Pudgy. I was like, oh.
That's not a good announcer.
Yeah, that's not a good announcer. I was like, hey, wait a second.
Here's stupid Justin Tyler and Fat LePage coming out.
That's what happens when you have a really fit announcer. He makes funny like that.
Yeah, exactly. He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing tonight here at Comic Book Club? Doing good?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah. All right.
Great.
Sweet.
Did anyone go to the New York Comic Con special edition this past weekend? You guys did.
One person?
Yeah, nice.
Right.
Good.
A couple of these guys. Front row? All right.
We
Captain America was there.
It was, he had to be there.
Oh, yeah. What was that like?
It was awesome. It was great. It was like a nice, I call it the Calm Con.
Because
everyone
nice.
Was very laid back and relaxed.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. It was.
I was very pissed I couldn't get off work.
Oh,
nobody wanted my Saturday shift. I couldn't give it away. And I was offering free lunch, too. I was going to buy somebody a lunch. They still didn't show up.
Wow.
It's been a weird couple of days for me.
Well, it's summer. It's the height of summer.
I saw my evil twin, by the way. If
oh,
you
shit.
Care.
What does that mean?
So there's this guy with my exact name walking around the city.
His name is Pete LePage?
Yeah. And he's evil.
I think he's the good twin.
Why would you say that?
Because you're the evil one.
Why am I the evil one?
You dress all in black. You're angry most of the time. And you have this sort of diabolical goatee.
Damn it. Because that's exactly what he
realization.
Said.
Tough realization. Yeah.
So,
It was me the whole time.
I just realized that I'm the evil twin of somebody.
And that's a heart-wrenching debate that we'll have to settle off mic, because we have to welcome out my evil twin, our guest tonight. Please on the stage, Mr. Chris Gray.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for coming out, sir.
I love that that was such a, I was so thought out. Like, you didn't have to miss a second.
No.
Evil Pete LePage, boom, boom, boom.
Yep.
Exactly.
Thought about it.
All these seconds are very precious we have in life and on stage. That's what I learned when I was eating grape nuts and not watching television.
Good. Well, guys, thanks for having me on the show.
You bet.
I love this show. Very exciting.
Thank you. We haven't had you back in a while, but we used to have you on nearly every week.
For a while. And then Pete had asked me to do the show. And then he said last week Alex had said that I would write a song. And then I had to start working on a new song. So
yeah,
we've done that.
Yeah, he did a bit where he was like, oh, maybe Griggs will have a new song for us. So,
My first show, I wrote a love ballad to Wolverine. That's how that all started. I wrote I Love You, Wolverine. It's a very Broadway ballad. You Google Chris Griggs and Wolverine, it'll come up.
Nice.
When I was putting together the Facebook invite for this show, I found an old clip of when we were doing a show called The Pulp Secret Report.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
We were doing a bit about the Spider-Man musical, which was just coming out, and you played either Uncle Ben or J. Jonah Jameson.
I was J. Jonah Jameson, yeah. That was typecasting. But yeah, it was fun, though. I think I put on
Because of your little mustache?
Well, yeah. And plus, man, I have such a love for journalism.
Yeah, I know.
Especially when
that's why we cast you. It was in a very extensive casting process.
Yeah. I love that. That was a fun show, though. That whole thing you guys used to do back in the day. But look at where you are now. Guys, you've clearly made it. I mean, you know, you're moving on up.
8 years later.
There's a time when you, seven or so-ish. So, Chris, you're doing a bunch of stuff. You are a weekly performer over at the People's Improv Theater.
Yeah, we have a show, a Big Black Car in the Baldwins. It's like, the show's been around for maybe 5 years now, 6 years. Mm-hmm. Every Saturday night, 8 o'clock, come out. Sometimes we have cool guest stars.
Oh, yeah?
Questlove has sat in our show in the last couple months. That's
nice.
Pretty cool. Oh, and Josh Radner sat in a few months ago.
Cool.
And then sometimes, you never know, guys. You never know who's going to be there.
That's the beauty of it.
And it may be... It could be Pete set in last week.
I did.
Pete LePage set in last week on the show.
Yeah, I know.
So it went from Questlove. Who's gonna be there.
To and then
man,
sometimes
Questlove must
you notice how
you.
I'm like, oh yeah, Questlove, Josh Ryder. Oh wait a minute, Pete, you were there last week. Pete LePage was there last Saturday.
Yeah, it was Scott's last show. Also a favorite of Comic Club.
Scott Eckert was one of the original members of Big Black Card. They're an improv group. If any, any improv nerds out
and,
there,
and he's moving to LA. So Scott, if you're listening, safe travels.
Oh, that's nice. Pete's sort of the Questlove of our show. We've always said
he is the Questlove
of
your
musical.
Show.
It's my afro. That's what.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You also have an album coming out.
I do.
Which is exciting. Cool. A comedy album.
It's all stand-up called Pieces of Memphis. And we've already done the recordings and everything, so we're just mixing it up. So that'll be out this year.
I saw an early, when he was kind of getting ready for it, I saw an early showing of it. It's hilarious. Highly recommend it.
Pete and I used to do stand-up, by the way. I don't know if you guys know Pete LePage did stand-up in New York City many, many years ago.
What? But
he
was all these secrets?
He was one of the guys that started to get me into it. He did stand-up and motivated me, and then now he bowed out after that.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
Couldn't handle the heat.
Well, Comic Book Club got so huge, I had to make a choice.
It was time-consuming.
Yeah.
Pete's favorite, one of my favorite bits that he did was, you can imagine this, he hated tall people. So his whole bit was like, fuck you, tall guy, and your ability to reach shit. You know, he hated tall people.
Yep.
He still does.
It bothers me that tall people act like superheroes just because they can reach shit. It's like, you're just tall, asshole.
What's up on these high shelves you're chasing after? Is that where the cookie jar is in your house?
Yeah, they put cool shit up high. I don't know if you know that.
I mean, I'm of average height. I'm taller than you, though, so
yeah, that's true.
I understand.
Yeah, rub it in.
I can at least see those high shelves. You could get a stool.
Yeah, I have stools, many. Short people have to have stools. It's a rule.
So weird.
Is your twin short, by the way?
No, he's tall and beautiful.
he's exactly the same height as me.
So you bump into him on the street?
Yeah.
How was he like, you're Pete LePage?
No, he came up behind me all creepy-like and was like, hey, Pete. And I was like... And I just thought, oh, maybe it's because it'd been a while since I've seen him, and he got new glasses, so that threw me off.
Wait, he's been following you your whole life?
I don't know, but we were walking down the same street, and he came up behind me all creepy, and I was like, oh, hey, what's up? And I didn't recognize him at first. I was like, where are you going? He's like, oh, I'm headed to work. And then I was like, oh, shit, Pete, you got new glasses. And he was like, yeah, so did you. Like, all creepy-like. It freaked me out.
I would love to hear his version of the story. Hey, this guy backed into my junk all like it was just there.
So I told him I had the same name as him. He thinks I'm his evil twin.
He's definitely my evil twin.
Did you get hit on the head maybe or something? Some kind of a weird fever dream?
Nope.
Cool. Chris, you appear in a comedy documentary?
Yeah, there's a Starz comedy.
I like how you said that, like you don't know what that is.
Yeah, that's
a comedy documentary?
Well, it's like tell us more. It's opening the door.
Oh, I see.
It's opening the door for the guest. It's an interview tip.
Oh, okay.
Pro tip. Pro tip. Leave the door open for the guest.
Oh, nice.
And then talk over them.
There you go. It's called the Coexist Comedy Tour. It's on the Starz Comedy Channel, and it's basically... it's like a Christian agnostic, an atheist, an Islamic comic, and just a bunch of people. And they did a tour, and then they shot a bunch of people auditioning for the tour, and just people doing material on religion and not being, not having religion preferences and stuff like that.
So which role were you? Which religion?
I have a lot of church material in my act, but I would not be considered a good Christian guy anymore as I drink my whiskey while we're on the show. I have a lot of stuff about...
Is the Bible mention anything about drinking on a podcast?
Really? You know, it just says be not drunk with wine, I think. So as long as you're not drunk on the podcast, I think you're okay.
He knows the Bible.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you grow up religious?
Oh, my gosh, dude. I grew up Pentecostal. That's the whole, speaking in tongues. I've seen people...
Is that with snakes?
We didn't do the snakes... whole Robert Duvall apostle style, but they did do faith healings and stuff like that. I saw people do the baby and,
See, at least that religion, they're doing cool. They're doing tricks.
There's something happening.
Yeah.
It's not boring.
I went to a Methodist church, old people sitting around. That's all we did. And then we were the youngest family. I grew up way in the country. We were the youngest family there, so they made my dad build them a bunch of shit because they were all very old.
I'm doing this whole bit right now, which I don't know. I haven't quite worked it all out yet, but it's basically this notion that, you know, churches go after homosexuals so aggressively. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, you know, like it's like stained glass windows and beautiful carpet and vaulted ceilings and velvet pews and satin choir robes and like piano music, organ music. They do these over the top holiday productions. It's pretty gay. It's the gayest thing ever. And so I like, why do you, there's something in there about, come on, would a straight, Pete, he's the straightest guy we know, right? If Pete were doing some version of church, it would be kind of beer and chicken wings, you know, like a heavenly tailgate party.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
It would be Tube Top Tuesdays. It would be fun. It would be fun.
Tube Top Tuesdays? You had me until Tube Top.
Really? I just thought of that off the cuff, and I thought that would be fun.
That's a fun activity.
If someone
you're
said
budding
you,
religious.
I would have to wear a tube top.
No, waitresses wear tube tops, you freak. What are you doing?
There's waitresses in the church now?
It's your
this is your religion.
That's the whole premise, is that it's
like
your
it.
Church.
You can, your Bible can be a comic book.
Man, that'd be sweet.
Yeah. Well, you have the resources. You have to build it.
Okay.
If you build it, they will come.
Oh, my God. Guys, I got to go.
You can just think about it while you're here.
Oh, okay.
We'll check in with you and see what kind of new moves you have for your religion.
Yeah, I'm excited.
But in the meantime, we have to read our three Bibles we have here in a little section that we call the stack.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, yeah. In the stack, Duran Duran shows up and plays a short jam while we jump into three comic books that came out this week that we're all going to discuss, have firm, pithy opinions about, explain dutifully, and then take a short nap.
There we go.
So let's kick it off with one of Pete's picks for the day, Superman Wonder Woman number 9.
Yeah. Nobody?
The
nobody
crowd is no losing one. It. They're Googling excitement in their phones right now.
Sweet.
Pete, you picked this because you like Superman and Wonder Woman dating.
Nope, not a big fan, but this comic is great. Hey, turns out Superman's got some problems.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if you've been reading this comic, but Superman has got Doomsday trapped inside of him.
Well, he fought Doomsday, and then Doomsday turned into a bunch of, like, spores.
Oh,
and Superman breathed them all in. Yeah, the great classic villain trick of turning into tiny mushroom spores.
Yeah.
And Superman breathed them all in, and then he became Doomsday.
Why wouldn't he just freeze them all and then just kind of break him and then he's dead?
I don't think it's fair for you to criticize Superman's moves.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. I mean, it was just...
But that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. That could have really made things a lot easier.
But now he has these spores in him, Pete. But then if he's not on Earth, it's better. What's the medical background on that?
So apparently the kryptonite that's on Earth keeps Doomsday kind of... and more in control than Superman can handle.
Well,
but if he flies off of Earth, then Superman has control over the spores.
Well, there's some folks who attacked Superman with some kryptonite dust, and then Doomsday took over because he's not vulnerable to it. So he went up into space where he can be more in charge.
Ah.
It's also some fun interaction with Clark Kent. We get to see a little, you know.
In the beginning, Clark's
like, yeah, it's like Dexter.
Hey.
He talks to his dad. Get to see Superman talk to Clark Kent style. That's fun.
Yeah.
Inner psyche.
It's like Clark Kent's like, hey, Doomsday, can you knock it off a little bit?
Yeah, man. Why don't you
I'm
relax.
Trying to do stuff and save the world. Doomsday's like, fuck you.
Fuck you. I'm Doomsday.
I'm Doomsday.
He does say his name a lot. I feel like if you remember a story a while back, Keith Richards supposedly snorted some of his dad's ashes.
I read that story.
Do you think he was trying to become his father in the same way that Superman is becoming Doomsday?
So you think Superman's big plan was to snort Doomsday?
I think Keith Richards' big plan.
Like, if you snorted your dad, are you really trying to become your dad? Or are you trying to say, hey, Dad, F you, bro. I just snorted you in my body, and I'm going to take a dump, and you're part of my dump. Where do you think that goes?
Wow.
Yeah, it might have been in the will.
Yeah. Keith Richards' dad might have been like, listen, snort me.
I think Keith Richards is the big villain here when you think about it. We also get to see some Red Lanterns in here.
Yeah.
Not as angry
as
they used to be.
For no particular reason.
Well, they're hanging
around.
Yeah,
they're very calm lanterns.
They've taken control of their rage.
Yeah. Wow, what does that mean?
Supergirl and then Beach Ball Guy.
Beach Ball Guy.
Is anyone out there reading this book at all? Yep.
Yeah, nice. Guy in the back.
I've actually liked the Doomed crossover. It's been sort of good so far. It feels a little stagnating, like, for the last, like, 4 or 5 issues, it's been a lot of, like, honestly, can you really keep control of this Doomsday?
Right.
And he's like, I'm trying. And that's what happens over and over again.
Yeah.
And then he fights different people.
For me, you know, because the reason I don't like the whole Superman Wonder Woman is because, hey, what about Lois, you know? But I liked how Superman was like, when he had a moment when he was floating above Earth and, you know, Wonder Woman's like, hey, we didn't really get a good dance. You know, I want one more dance with you. And I was like, oh, that's very touching. And then he was like, all right, listen, I got to go, but can you take care of Lois, please? Also look out for her. I was like, oh.
Yeah. It's a little messed up to ask
But you. She's very patient. Like, everybody wants to fight and mess up Superman in this, but she's trying to help him.
Yeah.
And she's trying to be, no, Superman, there's a good guy in there.
I think that's what makes them such a good couple. Power couple.
It's a good power couple.
She's also got the lasso of truth, guys. So, Superman, you know, that's a good relationship. Pete, you could find a woman that could lasso truth you.
I don't know. I feel like that's not a great way of building trust. I mean, like, let me just wrap this around you for a second.
Yeah, I believe you, sweetheart. I do, but I just want to... That way we don't have the... There's no second guessing.
Yeah.
Let me put my lasso on you just a tip. Let's see what happens.
Just lay it across you. What?
Just put the lasso on you just
lay
a
it across.
Let's
the
see if some truth
lasso
happens.
Lasso of half-truths.
A little half-truth happens.
The white lie lasso... There's a lot of different. You got to have a lot of ropes around if you're going to make a good relationship.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right.
I think that's a lesson we can all learn from this.
Yeah, that's Comic Club's relationship tips.
we've got a lot of them. Let's move on and talk about our next book, which is The Walking Dead, number 128.
Yeah.
Woo! Spinning out of the popular TV show, The Walking Dead.
Spinning out of? No, this was first, my friend.
Who can keep it all straight?
No, so, the comic book clearly came first.
So in this, we've followed these guys around for a long time, and now they just did a big time dash into the future a couple years, where they have a little society.
Yeah, a safe society.
Yeah. And so it's a lot of, like, checking in and seeing how bread is made, and
yeah.
It is. They talk about bread a lot.
They had a nice moment of, like, oh, I miss the smell of bread. I mean, I'm sure if you were fighting zombies the whole time, you don't have time for the nice things like bread.
Like smelling bread?
Flowers and stuff like that.
They take the time. There's a father-son thing going on. There's some moments.
Yeah.
There's some nice moments.
So how do you feel about this? There aren't a lot of zombies around. It's a lot of just like sort of Sim City-style Walking Dead where they're building stuff.
Yeah, there were these floating diamonds over their heads. It was really annoying. I was like, oh, man.
You can't even control them. But do you like this direction?
I do. At first, I was really shocked that he pushed it so far into the future. And it's weird to see Carl, like, all, like, hippied out, like, teenager awkward style. But
gangly.
Yeah. I'm hoping we do get to see Negan die.
Okay.
That's a weird thing. Yeah, that's what I'm holding
on to. It's a weird thing to hope for.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that they're the place that... Because normally we get to see them kind of go to a new location and what's going to happen. But here we're also getting the perspective of the new people coming there and how they're kind of dealing with
they
it.
They see men. Chris, what do you think? Walking Dead or Walking Bread?
I liked it. I'm not as... I don't know. It's weird. I feel weird. I'm not as huge Walking Dead guy as the world seems to be. So I was waiting for more things to happen. I did like the idea of them being the place and other people having to decide if they could trust them or not. That was fun. I liked all the art. The art was cool.
Like having a house party instead of going to a party.
Exactly. And the one time that they did have zombies in this particular issue was cool. I liked the way it was done.
Yeah.
Anytime you can put horses and zombies together, that's always a good time.
I feel like horses are tough in a zombie world
because
it's like an edible car.
But I would throw the horse at the zombie, I think, if you were in a bad
situation.
You
ever thrown a horse?
They didn't throw the horse.
But throw humans, bro.
If you were on a horse and there's a bunch of zombies, maybe
you
were
the horse.
You would go after the horse first and you might be able to get away because the horse is like way more chow, I would think.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
I have ridden a horse. I've been thrown, though. And I know
you have been thrown.
I have been. And I guess the thing is you think the horse would throw me. But if a zombie was after me, I think my thigh muscles would get stronger.
Oh, that's a nice thing to think.
I don't know.
That might be your last thought. It's like, I think my thigh muscles are really going to get
that
me through
this. That would
probably
be my last thought, yeah.
Pete, have you ever ridden a horse?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What happened? Where were you?
It was awful. I don't want to talk about it. It was a really bad...
You don't want to talk about it?
Yeah.
That only makes me want to know more about it.
I still have nightmares about it.
Really? Straight up nightmares?
Yeah.
Where were you? A dude ranch? Or were you just watching City Slickers?
Or is it like the horse in your dream going, Pete, I'm tall. You're short.
I'm going to hide all this Pete stuff on this shelf.
There's a little bit to that. No, basically, when I was in camp... My parents sent me away to camp because they couldn't deal with me.
They're like, make this man a cowboy.
Yeah. So I went away to camp, and it was awful. It was like the worst thing ever. And so to make it up to me, they gave me free horseback riding lessons.
No, that's like camp times two.
Yeah. So the problem was the guy who was running it didn't care about his job or anything. So he didn't put my saddle on.
A guy running a horseback lesson camp in upstate New York didn't give a shit on his life.
Yeah, didn't give a shit.
That's insane. That means he couldn't make it with the county fair.
Yeah, I don't know what that means for him, but he hated his job, and I paid the price. Basically, what happened is we were riding down the trail, and I slowly started to slide underneath the horse, and I'm hanging on to this horse's belly.
Oh, so you're some sort of Bugs Bunny or something.
Yeah,
sort of,
it was a Bugs Bunny cartoon. So basically, I'm like trying to hang on. Of course, I fall to the ground and then ball up, and the horse jumped over me, and I thought I was going to get like a hoof to the face.
Holy shit.
And then when the douchebag who put on my saddle came back, he yelled at me for letting my horse get away. Yeah, it's a scary, scary thing when you think you're going to die.
Yeah, wow, that was much darker.
And then throw zombies into that scenario.
Yeah,
my friend.
And yeah, then it's, yeah.
Yeah, your thigh muscles wouldn't have helped out.
See, that's what I think, though. Let's say you fell down and then the horse is running. I think the zombies would go after the horse and you'd have a shot of getting away.
Well, I think the zombies would grab the big, meaty man laying on the ground, just laying there, curled up.
All right, maybe. They are slow. All right.
Yeah. Zombies, yeah, horses.
Think about this plan, yeah, before it happens, is our point.
I would just drive in a car.
So you don't like this?
Walking Dead?
Yeah.
It's all right. I feel like I want to know what the story is now. It feels like we're introducing all these elements.
We're in between two kind of...
Is it about these newcomers who are going to be mad, but what are they up to? I feel like this happens a lot in Robert Kirkman's books, where you just sort of... He introduces all these elements, and then he casually chooses the one he wants to make the story about.
Wow.
And when you're in between those phases, it's sort of a bummer.
You think he's a lazy writer? Is that what you're saying?
It's not
Kirkman's
lazy.
Kirkman's like, I'm at a point now where
it's
I'm doing
his
I will
style.
Say, I agree with you in that sense. Like I was saying, like I'm not a big Walking Dead guy, so this is my, you know, I was reading this, and there was, it's hard to even know directionally, well, where do you want to go with this?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's some interesting stuff, but I don't know. I would have no idea where he wants to go with this.
You guys need to respect the Kirkman, all right? I mean, the guy is a legend.
I mean, I wouldn't say legend, but he's
really?
He's around.
Think
he's
a legend?
Famous. I feel like a legend, you have to be old.
Okay, well, he is younger.
Yeah, he's a young legend.
All right.
Let's move on and talk about another legendary comic book title, All New X-Men, number 28, by living legend Brian Michael Bendis. This book is actually... sort of in the same world where it's like there's all these elements on the table and it's like, what are we following here?
Well, this is a little bit more clear.
Well, how so?
Well, this you get to see Charles Xavier's son.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all from his point of view of what he's trying to evilly do.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah,
I mean, if I got it... It's got to be clear.
Yeah, you're the quest level of the show. If you get it.
Well, like, which one? You saw the Xavier character who takes over Beast's mind as the good guy and the one who's trying to kill
Phoenix. I didn't say it was.
It's almost like they're both. I mean, like, who? So I'm like with you again. I'm trying to exactly. You're pretty clear on it. So explain to us what's going on.
So Xavier's son is pissed off because he feels that X-Men killed his dad.
Right.
And no one gives a shit. They even changed the name of the school. So no one cares about his father, which upsets him.
Right.
So he's going to destroy the X-Men, which is an interesting
twist.
But
he's not a good guy.
No, who's saying he's a good guy?
No, but I'm trying to figure out. There is no good guy in this thing, almost. It's like there's two...
Well, no, the X-Men are the good guys.
Okay.
But who are the X-Men?
They're...
Did you ever think about that?
Well, you just blew my mind.
Is anyone out there reading this?
Yeah, guy in the
You are an avid comic
There's
book
only
reader.
One guy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Do you like this? Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It is good, and I just feel like it's sort of a similar thing to Kirkman, where it's like there's all these elements on the table, and this is sort of fleshing out evil Charles Xavier Jr.'s backstory. But it's just there's, like, X-Men from the future. There's evil X-Men from the future. There's the all-new X-Men from the past. There's current X-Men.
And then there's that creepy Mystique Beast guy.
Yeah, he's an evil X-Man from the future.
Right.
And so everyone's hanging out. And it's like being at a party where you don't know the
what
people.
What kind of parties do you go to? No, there's no parties where there's somebody controlling everybody's mind and then making you want to kill them.
Well, you come hang out with me for one night.
I don't think I could.
Yeah.
I did want to read more about this. I want to keep following the story.
Yeah, it's great. Especially that last page, man. X-23, baby.
Yeah, what about her?
She's going to save the day, hopefully.
Yeah, she's a hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Because she has claws, like Wolverine.
Right.
Who you love.
I do like Wolverine.
How do you feel about X-23?
Who doesn't love Wolverine?
I like anything derivative of Wolverine, guys. I wouldn't have written a love ballad about a superhero that I don't love.
It's beautiful, man.
Yeah, you two are in love with Wolverine, I would say. Now, would you say you love most about him his claws? His hair?
I like the fact
his cigar-smoking habit.
You know what my favorite thing? I like the fact that he's immortal. I'll go a little different. He's kind of immortal, basically. He's always going to be young, and he's like Highlander. Which would be great. Let's put Wolverine and Highlander together.
That's a couple. Awesome.
I like the fact that he's short and doesn't take shit from anybody.
Oh, here we go with the tall shit again.
Tall shit again, guys.
Jesus Christ. And that's it for the stack, everybody. Let's move on to our next section, which is our favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah. Am I going out? Are you going out?
Yeah, you go for it.
All right.
We're going to send Pete out into the audience.
Guys, that's a dangerous proposition. It's the part where you guys ask us a question, we answer it. It can be for Griggs, it could be for anybody. It's something you want to know, comic book related, movie related, geek related.
Life.
Life.
Personal.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that.
Deeply personal. Let's get into
Who's
it.
Who's got a question?
Everybody, raise your hand if you have a question. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, come on.
Sir, please state your name and then state your question.
Oh, you have to state your name. It's not a court case.
The state of my name is Kenny. Right. And my question, you guys mentioned earlier, if you're going to build a Bible of comic books, well, what would the books of your Bible be?
Ooh. So these would be the comic books that define our moral center.
Wow.
What's your life philosophy in comic books? Oh, he's passing the buck down to Chris.
I need a moment to think about that. That's a tough thing.
Now, I don't know that that's what he was asking. I think he was just saying, like, what's your
Bible?
What would be your value of, but then you made it a moral thing, and that was
I think it's the same. It's the same thing.
Is it? Is that where you were going with it?
The book of Peter.
Yeah. The book of, like, which character defines us, or which comic book?
Oh, okay. I thought it was what comic book do you think represents you so much that you would make it your Bible?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. What is it?
That's a fucking tough question, man.
I mean, I would say Punisher for you.
Yeah, but which one?
I don't know, the most fucked up one?
I'm thinking.
All right.
I just know the ones that I've identified with. I guess I'm going back now in my life. I really identified with Green Arrow always. I was like 10.
Really? Green Arrow?
Because he's so rich?
Well, because he was smooth and everything, and he could have done anything, but then he decided, you know, I'm not a superhero, but I'm going to walk among the gods, so to speak. And then I'm just going to do the best I can with what skills I have.
There's something honorable about that.
I like that. And, you know, he had some hot, you know, Black Canary's hot and stuff. I like Nightcrawler. I like Nightcrawler a lot. Yeah. I thought he was
also a religious fellow.
He was religious, and he wasn't necessarily looking to mix it up all the time, but, you know, I like he had some cool powers. And again, and I always rooted for the guy. He wasn't necessarily the strongest one, but he was sort of the one that I'm going to be in it, even though there's a good shot I might die. We might mix it up, and I may not come out of this. But
risky.
I was like that. Yeah,
I would go with Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern.
Mm. Wow,
because he was all about
who is currently a Red Lantern filled with rage.
No, he's not. He's not a Red Lantern.
Oh no, that was Guy Gardner.
My bad. Kyle was all about being creative, willpower times creative power, and making that manifest. And that's
what you're doing here,
that's
guys.
That's what I do in my,
this
with
is
my
willpower
life.
Willpower and creative power.
Yeah, also Kermit the Frog.
Because it's not easy being green?
When I saw the Muppet movie, I cried through the whole entire thing. Because I was like, holy
the
shit.
The whole thing?
Pretty much. As soon as Kermit came on screen, I was like, oh my God.
Because you think you're Kermit?
I was like, oh my God. Because I watched the Muppet Show when I was a kid. Uh-huh. And I was like, I live my life like Kermit's life. And that was a tough realization.
Wow.
Because he's
man.
A puppet. And I'm a human. what you got, Pete?
I might say Scarlet, that Bendis wrote with, was it Maleev?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because I like the fact of, like, using powers to really try to disrupt, you know, all the bullshit that goes on. Because realistically, there isn't such a clear-cut line, you know, in evil and stuff like that. So I feel like I like the fact that it's using it as a revolution.
Wow.
You did say Punisher, better. By the way. So.
Yeah, exactly, which is very similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, Punisher is the easy answer.
Yeah, I know. No, and we don't want them.
Well, I just figured I'd try to give something a little bit more.
I love it. Keep us guessing.
Yeah.
But it's Punisher. great. Yeah. Who else has a question? Just raise your hand.
Anybody else got a question?
What a question.
Anybody else? Any question? Yes.
Yes.
Oh, guy in the back.
The comic book reader.
Sir, please state your name and state your question.
My name is Ron, and I just my question is, I think it was two more. Oh, my name is Ron, and my question is, in two issues, I think they're closing Iron Man because Kieran Gillian's off. Who would you guys pick to write him? Iron Man when the comic resumes.
Who's going to write
Just
Iron
in case
Man?
You couldn't hear it, it's Ron.
Yep.
And who do you want to write Iron Man?
Who's going to write Iron Man?
I'm going to defer to you guys as experts on the writers.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, I mean, Gillum's doing an amazing job. It's tough to see him go. I mean, he really, just fantastic. It's always sad when a writer who's been killing it moves on or they switch it up. So it's tough. I mean...
Well, so you need someone to understand science and technology.
Right.
Like Bill Nye, the science guy.
So, yeah, I mean, right there.
He could pop in, write a couple issues.
Yeah, just pop... Let's get... What is he doing?
Or someone that understands struggling with alcoholism, like Russell Brand.
Wow, you're really doing some obscure...
Let's get some new names in there.
Wow, I was thinking, like, Peter Milligan. Or Bendis.
Yeah,
you were just like, all right.
I feel like what if Warren Ellis did like the way he's doing on Moon Knight, if he did right. 6 or 10.
Yeah, but didn't Warren Ellis do Iron Man? Or am I crazy?
I think a while ago, maybe.
Yeah,
he did the extremist stuff.
Yeah, that was great.
I actually don't love the extremist stuff. I thought it was a little too too techie. It was too extreme. Extreme-ish. Any favorite writer out there?
No, I was just looking at this guy to see if he liked the extremist or not, because I was trying to read his point of view.
Yeah.
No.
He's in the middle.
Yeah.
He's an unextreme opinion. Great. Who else has a question? Anybody else have a question?
Can we get one last question? Yeah,
hand.
All right.
That's the
all
spirit.
Right. Please state your name. State your question.
My name's Kevin, and my question is, if you were going to be in a rock band, what comic book characters would you want to back you up, and what instruments would they play?
Nice.
Oh, wow.
The perfect comic book rock band.
Mm.
Well, you sort of want the Hulk on drums.
That would be the shortest song ever.
No, but you have a Hulk-sized drum.
And he's going to clear the crowd.
It was funny because I was thinking Lobo on drums. That's hilarious.
Yeah, well, you want a guy that shows up, like, he shows up Bruce Banner style, and then he Hulks out in the solo and, like, loses it. That would be cool.
I love that.
Yeah, and then just trashes the stage.
Yeah, you want to save him for just the right... Do the drum solo at the end.
Yeah.
Mystique on the drums, because then she could just be coming different people the entire concert.
Turn into Neil Peart and just go crazy.
Nice. What about bass? Bass, notoriously tough spot.
Bass is
in
a
the
tough
band.
Spot.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, man.
I feel like a lot of people on bass are a little aloof. Apologies to any bassists out there listening. But a little aloof, a little weird. And the bass is like, oh, yeah, I partied with Doctor Strange last night. He took me into the Eye of Agamotto.
I think that would be cool. Right. I don't know why you're so
You're into bassists.
Yeah. Oh, who would be the singer? Who would be the...
Who's the front man?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Beast would be on sax. Is that weird?
Oh, your band has a saxophone player in it? What year is your band in? Are you doing the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones?
If you're going to have a band. Don't just have a drummer and...
Okay.
real band.
So you're putting together like a Lawrence Welk show style band. Cool. Who's going to be on sax?
And the thing is on cowbell.
Yeah,
if you're going to have the Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's especially like the thing is like is less strong, is weaker than the Hulk, so he has to run the cowbell. Sad. And who's the front man?
Who's
the voice? Oh,
Gambit?
That's a cool one.
Gambit would be
a
good
his front voice
man.
Is too annoying for him to be the...
His voice is too
because
annoying?
Because it's Southern?
But you don't like that Cajun accent?
Yeah, I don't like that Cajun accent, no.
Man, that's sexy. Women love Southern accents.
Yeah. What do you play in this band?
They like a guy with a Southern accent?
They do.
Yeah?
What woodwind instrument? Clarinet, are you playing in your band?
I couldn't play a...
What's the thing where you just put your hand in space and it just beeps? Theremin, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't
even think I could do that. I used to...
It's hard. You just have to play
the guitar for a little while, but I quit.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So you'd be the manager.
Yeah. I learned to play La Bamba, and then I was like, all right, I did it. And then I quit.
All right, I did it. I get rock and roll.
Well, no.
J. Jonah Jameson's the manager, and he calls you hooligans while you play the entire game.
Oh, Spider-Man would be a great front man. He's quippy. He's got a lot of energy.
What bands do you like? What bands? I think you're literally describing the Mighty Mighty Boss Downs. A quippy front man, a lot of saxophone, some guys dancing the whole time.
Yeah, I don't. What, did someone say Bedazzler? Or Dazzler? Did I say
Bedazzler?
Bedazzler.
Well, all of your outfits will be Bedazzler.
Yeah, I don't want Dazzler in my band.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Why?
Have you been bedazzled, Pete? Is that why that came out all Freudian style?
He had a weird relationship with Dazzler.
Yeah.
And didn't end well?
Didn't.
Rock and roll life. Yeah. Had to hang up the sax forever.
I think Zalbin killed Dazzler for everybody, so.
Wow, that's sad. Great question, and that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah.
Rock and roll. Let's move on to our next section, the Week in
Geeks. Yeah.
We are going to talk about some things that have happened in geek or pop culture involving movies, television, and all that sort of thing. The things that your parents read about and say, what's up with that? First up, we have the return of, it was announced this week, Return of Heroes. The TV show Heroes is coming back.
Really?
For NBC, a miniseries called Heroes Reborn.
Weird.
Anybody psyched about that? Tim Kring made an announcement. They have signed on not a lot of original talent from the TV show. They do have horn-rimmed glasses guy.
Yeah, they got
the guy in the back.
The regular guy who looks, I can't remember his name either, but he wears glasses and all that.
Yeah, horn-rimmed glasses.
I wanted to like Heroes. Somebody obviously wants to like Heroes because they keep bringing it back, but
yeah,
I liked it in the beginning, the first few episodes. I hung with it, and then I found it miserable to watch and try to keep up with.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
Yeah.
This is going to be sort of like, just like the first season where it's going to be getting Heroes to come back together. And then they're promising cameos from like Milo Ventimiglia and like,
oh really?
But none of them have officially signed on to do it.
It's like, hey guys, remember when we promised these cool heroes the last time, and then nothing cool ever really happened, and we never had. No, we're gonna try it again.
We're gonna do that same thing again. But horn rimmed glasses guy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's good for your parents.
His superpower is being an adult supervision guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just stern warnings. Something else, News from Star Wars said Harrison Ford's going to be missing 8 weeks of shooting because he hurt his ankle.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, he got really messed up. It makes you think, like, if anyone would have safety protocols, you would think it would have been Harrison Ford. Like, he's in a hospital. They think maybe he broke his ankle and stuff.
Well, he does all his own stunts, man. I mean, the guy's legit.
Well, he's, like, 84 years old, man. I mean, you would – I don't know. It just seems crazy to me with that kind of budget, and it's Harrison Ford. Look, can I shoot around if Carrie Fisher, man, pops a quad? Yeah, I can shoot around that. I need Han Solo, man.
Yeah, so. Apparently of all the original cast members, he has, like, a pretty legit part in that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So it's like...
Yeah, but, I mean, can you just throw him in the cast? I mean, are we going to really... Are there a lot of shots of his ankle? Like, what...
Have you ever been around, like, an old person? Yeah. They get hurt, and they don't like
it. And can you see he's having a... I'm Harrison Ford!
Did you see him at the Oscars?
No.
He was just barely there.
Oh, man.
He got a big earring, and he was like, screenwriting is, here's the people, or something like that. It was like, holy shit, he's aged a lot. But I feel like he probably wasn't doing a lot of stunts. I bet he just tripped or going to, like, craft services.
Yeah, they'll make it something cooler. But, yeah, I agree with you. He probably was just doing something. Like, he was walking around and tripped over a Wookiee or something. And
Yeah.
Tripped over a Wookiee.
I like the idea that the actor's going to act in the cast, like Jackie Chan style.
Why wouldn't you? I mean, if it's just your ankle, why do you need that for acting?
Well, as a classically trained actor, I can tell you that your whole body is your instrument.
Oh, okay.
And to put it in terms you can understand, it's like your whole body is your saxophone.
Oh, so, call back.
If you have a broken key.
But seriously, Justin, if you were on Star Wars, if they were like, hey, Justin, we're going to cast you in Star Wars, and you twisted your ankle, would you be like, sorry, guys, we got to go 8 weeks? I can't work like this.
It's not like they're like Harrison Ford's being a wimp. It's the rules.
His life is not the same. That guy has, like, he rolls out of bed and there's $1 billion in his pocket. He's got Ally McBeal money, man. He doesn't need all this, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to do this.
I mean, I bet he wants to.
I'm sure he wants to.
If he's that rich, they can put a new ankle in.
If anyone can get a new ankle put in, it's Harrison Ford.
I mean, how does science and technology work?
Yeah. Right.
Quick check-in with Pete's Arrow Corner.
Season's over.
Yeah, bro. I know, but did you see there was an announcement yesterday, I think, that they're introducing some new characters to the show Arrow for next season?
Ooh.
One of them looks a lot like it might be the Blue Beetle.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Great. That's all the time we have for Pete's Arrow. And finally, interested to hear what you guys think about this. Mark Ruffalo announced just before the show, an hour before we started the show, that Marvel may do another solo Hulk movie.
Yes.
Do we want that?
Yes. With Mark Ruffalo? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I love him as the Hulk. I think he's the best Hulk out of all of them.
So then what's the problem?
Well, they've just tanked it a couple times.
They just tanked so many. I don't know, man. Maybe I just...
So many was two,
Avengers.
Motherfuckers. That's a lot.
I mean, what other character have they tanked two or more movies? Just the Punisher,
I guess. My two favorite characters.
Wow, that's fucked up.
Yeah, and Wolverine. Don't forget that. That sucked, too.
Yeah, but his
movies tanked those ones pretty well.
Why can't they do the good ones? Hmm. Oh, man.
Maybe you're not supporting them enough.
I don't think that's it.
So what are they going to do differently in this one to make it good?
I guess that's where I'm at. Like, what are you going to do different? He's going to fight a big blob, something. They're going to do so much property damage, it's going to make me sad. But I do like him. I like Mark Ruffalo.
You care about property damage?
I don't know, dude. I don't know what's happening.
I feel every smash building in a movie.
I watch the Avengers movie, and I go, oh, that's going to raise people's taxes. That is insane, the amount of property damage in the Avengers movie, man.
Exactly. Just think of the bureaucracy.
Crazy.
I just watched part of Man of Steel today. That movie's fucking property damage.
There's so much property damage in Man of Steel.
It's unnecessary.
Why would you watch that movie again?
It was on.
Oh. You're having one of those days?
Yeah.
You just turned your TV on and gave up?
I was a little sick, so I'm drinking this beverage that I guess most people call water instead of beer.
Weird.
Well.
I just assumed it was like vodka in there.
No, that's a great assumption.
Oh, I was just, was it Russell Crowe, dad, in that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
I do like to watch him play that character called Cashing the Check. That's pretty fun. I like to watch him. That's a good character.
Where he stands around and says, go, B, go, go.
Move.
Yeah.
Left.
Let me open this door. I'm going to close this door. Lois Lane, go this way.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Man of Steel for you. That's it for the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Now let's turn it over to trivia starring Mr. Pete LePage.
All right, guys. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free dollars in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free dollars? A simple raising of the hand. Who would like $25 free dollars? One of you three in the front here? You want to win $25 free dollars? Yes. America, come on up.
He touched his nose in a very suggestive way. I think that man, he wants to come down.
Captain America, come on up. Yeah, please take that microphone.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Fine.
What is your name, sir?
Mest.
I'm sorry?
Mest.
Mest? Audience Mest. Hey! All right, so.
Okay.
What did I say? Bad?
No,
wrong?
No, that's fine.
Okay. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you win $25.
Cool.
So as long as you read every comic that came out this week, you'll be fine. All right, here we go. Question number one. In Nightcrawler number 3, Wolverine offers what to Nightcrawler in the danger room? Is it A, a beer, B, a fight, or is it C, hey, do you think Comixology will ever be cool again? So it's either A, a beer, which is correct, or it's B, a fight.
I'm going to say it's a beer.
Yes, it is correct. I mean, we're talking about Wolverine here. Yeah, so yeah, he's going to offer him a beer. And Deadpool number 30, Deadpool teams up with who? Is it A, Wolverine, B, Dazzler, or is it C? Hey, how come the only DC casting I'm excited about is Aquaman? Seriously, that guy looks fucking awesome as Aquaman. Seriously, dude. So it's either A, Wolverine, which is wrong,
okay,
or it's B, Dazzler.
I'm going to say Dazzler.
Yeah, he's correct. Nice job. All right, here we go. Last question. Only one more to go. She-Hulk has been amazing, almost award-winning. So, of course, they blank. Is it A, change the artist, B, change the writer, or is it C, how come the European trailer is so much cooler than the American one for Guardians of the Galaxy? So it's either A or it's B. Don't pick B. Don't pick it.
A.
A is correct. They changed the artist. $25 free dollars for you. Congratulations.
Nice. Congratulations. I think it's only a fill-in artist, Pete, so you don't have to panic.
Okay, good. Because, that was upsetting.
Yeah. All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend going to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
They have been nice enough to sponsor.
Very nice. Years and years they've been so nice.
Yeah.
Pete, what are you looking forward to on tomorrow?
I'm looking forward to Daredevil number 4 and Punisher number 7.
Oh, two things.
Oh, it's two things. Yeah, people like it.
Yeah, people like that Daredevil.
Yeah.
Cool. What do you like about those books?
Well, you got Wade killing it with Daredevil, and, you know, he's still, you know, kind of like, hey, San Fran's a little weird, you know?
Yeah,
and he got himself in some shit in the last issue, so.
Yeah, it's a tough town.
Yeah, so Punisher continues to be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody loves it.
It is good. It is very good. I'm looking forward to, actually, Original Sin number 4, the crossover from Marvel Comics. It's pretty interesting. All these Marvel characters were, it was revealed to them, all these secrets that they hadn't known about in their lives, and a bunch of them ran off to go figure it out. It's sort of a weird crossover. There's a giant eyeball guy. There's a bunch of different characters from all across the Marvel Universe. They paired up the Punisher and Doctor Strange to go on a weird CSI investigation. Like, it's a weird, cool crossover. And
do you think if someone revealed our secrets, we would split up?
Well, they didn't split up. They just went to go sort them out.
Okay, because maybe that's where Zelvin is.
Yeah, he's dealing with a lot
of secrets. You guys still have secrets after all these years of doing a podcast together?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need a lasso of truth real bad.
Just a tip, guys. Just a tip.
Oh, Chris, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, I want to see the quest for Nightcrawler. You said that. I love Nightcrawler. He's one of my favorite characters. And also, Wolverine and X-Men is coming out, number 5. I want to see that. I love Wolverine, as I obviously do, since I wrote a love ballad to him.
Nice.
Awesome.
Speaking of ballads.
We'll close out the show, and then we're going to turn it over to Chris to create. He's worked on a brand new song
for us. A brand new song.
Guys.
Maybe a love ballad. We're not sure what it is.
First off, let me bring up my accompaniment. Roy Schall, everybody. Give him a
hand.
Many, many years ago, I did write a Wolverine song, and that was kind of cool. And so then Alex wanted me to do a new song, and so I've quickly written a new song. This is not as upbeat as that one. It's a little weird. It's a little dark, but hey, guys, come on.
That's life.
Who cares?
That's life.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So this one is called Hollywood Superheroes.
Ooh.
You know, guys, this is a story about Hollywood superheroes and how they may be destroying my life. Hollywood superheroes rule my mind. When I should be living life, they rule my time. I'll never have a wife or a happy family, because I'm spending all my time in a superhero kind of reality. Chris Evans was so good in Captain America 2. It made me want to forgive him for being in Fantastic Four. Batista the Wrestler is about to act in a major movie release, Guardians of the Galaxy. I hope the director knows Batista can't play a baby face and is not very good on the mic. I don't want to see Jessica Alba ever in another superhero movie, unless her superpower is being naked. On Fox's TV's Arrow, I really like the current Black Canary way better than the one on the show that they may be making Black Canary down the road. You know, the anorexic chick from Melrose Place whose dad was on a 70s rock star show, The Partridge Family, and he wrote the hit single, I Think I Love You. Wait, I've said too much. I'm really looking forward to seeing Power Man and Iron Fist and the new Defenders on Netflix. But I hope I leave out all the racist stereotypes. If Ryan Reynolds had gotten in the new Highlander movie, he would have officially destroyed all my favorite characters from childhood. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, I know my life is dull, and I need to grow my ass up. But having a career is really hard, and paying the bills does suck. Dating normal girls ain't easy when you're thinking about Scarlett Johansson. Saying that you're thinking of her on a date, you may as well say you're the son of Marilyn Manson. The son of Marilyn Manson. That's a cool superhero villain idea, by the way, guys. So that's my life and that's my curse. My future is set in stone. I'll never have a child or a 401k, and maybe I'll die alone. I'll die alone. Because Hollywood superheroes rule my mind. When I should be living life, they rule my time. I'll never have a life or a happy family, because I'm spending all my time in a superhero kind of reality. Nicolas Cage get the studios to do Ghost Rider 2? Where was
was Nightcrawler in the last X-Men movie. Couldn't they get him off the set of the CBS's Good Wife? The Fox Gotham show looks a lot like All Hat and No Cattle. Kelsey Grammer was a way cooler X-Men in the 70s. What if in Expendables 3 we find out they're trapped in a nest of vampires and Wesley Snipes reveals himself to be in Blade 4?
Yeah!
You're welcome. The new Flash looks cool. The X-Men's Quicksilver was even cooler. Lately, I've suffered from premature ejaculation, and I don't know why. I don't know why.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris and Roy, everybody.
Oh, man.
ChrisGriggsComedy.com, guys.
So nice. I wish I had all of my geek news delivered in sort of a sad ballad form. It's nice. Great. That's sure, buddy. Pete, what do we got to say?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Check out our website, comicbookclublive.com. A couple people we want to thank before we say goodbye. Chris Gray.
Yeah.
On the acoustic guitar. Midtown Comics is sponsoring a show. Our interns, everybody, follow us on iTunes. That helps a ton. Of course, our lovely audience. We're here every week at Fontana's. Thank you for coming, guys. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Really appreciate it. Good night.